I was waiting for Denholm to come in here with a goal as well, like he had right there. There it is. There it is.
Good.
Finally got it done. Nice to see our local teams back at it last night. We saw LAFC with a draw in their first match since the reboot. I found that conversation we just had a minute ago, guys, absolutely fascinating.
Nice to see our local teams pitching in, too.
All of them. You know what I mean? And I mean, obviously, if you get a couple, no one wants to be left out of something like that because it's just such a fantastic idea. I'm surprised that that hasn't existed already. Where, because to the point at the end that we were talking about there, that it's not just, okay, I can be the quarterback or I can be the safety or the wide receiver or the head coach or the defensive coordinator. I can be the team's accountant. I can be the trainer. I can be the videographer. I can be so many things that you don't even realize exist in a sports organization that until you are really kind of near it, you don't even realize the opportunities that are there. And the sooner the kids can get into those buildings and get around those guys and say, oh, what do you do? Oh, well, actually, I run the facility. I'm a facilities guy, and I make sure that we have these things over here. Here, we'll make sure that a logistics job. There are just so many things that aren't about carrying or hitting the ball that are about being around a professional sports team.
You know, I didn't learn a lot of this in high school or junior high. I didn't learn it until toward the end of college, where I didn't realize that, like, there was a stadium manager. Like, I remember a guy who turned out to be a little bit of a criminal name. I think his name was Pat Lynch. He did the L.A. Coliseum. He was the Coliseum's general manager. Then Tim Lywecki at Staples Center. I remember when I first visited Staples Center, walking around Staples Center and trying to understand all of the ins and outs about that. But he was the guy who ran the show. But it wasn't team-oriented. It was off-site. But it was a part of the team. So you learn about all of these sort of things. And there's been programs and mentorship programs like William Morris Endeavor has a mentorship program at Dorsey High School that I went to school with. They have been doing it for years. Kevin Frazier, who works in television, he had a mentorship program to teach, you know, to go back to the school and got kids to get behind the cameras and do things like that. So there are programs set up in different organizations, but this one as a whole in sports with all the local teams, not just concentrating on whether you can hit a ball, you can run fast, you can catch, you can shoot, or you can jump, but you can run it. And that starts something. It really does. It makes you feel good about your opportunities are not limited.
Yeah, you know, and that to me, and all the things that Renata and I talked about yesterday, that was the most inspiring to me. Because what you don't want to have happen is people feel, especially young people who don't know what's out there, that when they hear you want to be an athlete, what usually happens is they immediately start talking about you need another plan. You need a plan B, but it's about how impossible it is. What that young person has communicated to you, though, is that they love sports. That's what they've communicated at the very base level. And so while you may be, as an adult, aware of how difficult it may be for that young person to make it as a professional athlete, you still have a lot of information that can help them grow into an adult. And so they can pursue their dreams of being a number one draft pick one day, but they also know that if that doesn't work out, they can be building other things and they don't have to leave sports. I think far too often it isn't presented to young people in that fashion, that just because you don't make it as an athlete doesn't mean you won't make it in sports. Then there's the other thing, of course, which is just simply the notion that all 11 pro teams have pulled their money together and all their kids' resources together to make this thing go. That's powerful.
Yeah. And it's everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, if you go from, you know, down here in Orange County where you've got two major professional teams, you start moving your way up in the Galaxy or in Carson. You start moving up, you get into the Rams. You start moving up, you got the Chargers. You get the LAFC. You've got the Dodgers. You got the Lakers. You got the Clippers. It's just, it blankets the entire city, and there's just so many different opportunities in so many different areas of this giant. It's just a fantastic opportunity. I'm excited that we got a chance to talk about it. One of those jobs, how about this? You know, one of the jobs that we don't think about too much that is a part of all of these teams is team security. And maybe they need some people down in Orlando because guys are already trying to sneak out. the guys are already trying to bust that bubble. We have a player in Houston who says, oh, I didn't know I could go out of my room. My bad. I'll go back in here for 10 days and quarantine on my own. Then you've got a player from the Sacramento Kings, Rashawn Holmes, who decided he needed to go pick up a Postmates delivery. Oh, I didn't know I couldn't do that. This is exactly one weekend and change into what could be a multiple month quarantine, and we've already had two bubble violations.
Yeah, but those violations, I mean, they're not the violations we talked about early on in the show. We talked about violations of trying to sneak ugly Anna in to the room. Though these violations are just stepping out of the room, crossing the line, going to pick up food. Now, I don't know if that means he went outside the building into a car to pick up the food or he just went down into the lobby. It's still a violation. It's a violation, but it's not as egregious as we thought it would be, I guess. I thought it would be more of a trying to, you know, go have a little fun in the sun.
Oh, guys.
Well, first of all, there's no confirmation that that's not what it was. They can say what they want, and we'll see what it is. What's the breaking news?
Well, we got some Vegas odds, new Vegas odds, based on what we're just talking about. These are actual odds you can go on and bet and win some money. Will the NBA ban players from social media inside the bubble is one of the questions. You can bet that one. Will any player violate bubble guidelines after today's date, which is July 14th, correct? Mm-hmm. The favorite at a minus 500 is yes. That means you bet. You
can
bet $100.
Can you check that list, Travis? Because after
you want to double check the accuracy.
This is real talk. Will any player, NBA player, violate the bubble guidelines?
Well, first of all,
overwhelming favorite is yes.
But they're not going to be able to take the social media away from them, so that's not going to happen.
Right. That one's an underdog. That's a plus 800. But a minus 500. That's pretty big. And this is one. Will any NBA player be removed from the bubble due to violations?
No,
is the favorite. Okay, and that's at a minus 250, but plus 170, not bad on yes.
No, look, guys are going to mess around for sure, but I also don't think the NBA is not kicking anybody out. They may sit a guy down for a period of time, but they're not sending anybody home. That would just be a terrible look for the entire league. They're not sending anybody home.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to get sent home. And I honestly don't think anybody's going to violate it like that. I just don't. I just really
they already have.
Don't. That's not a real violation, man. Y'all put too much on it. Y'all spreading it on thick. Y'all putting it on thick, man. Y'all putting it on thick for real.
U-Haul Johnson. Your new nickname is U-Haul Johnson because you're constantly moving. You're constantly moving the goalpost.
What you mean?
Dak's about to sign next week.
All right,
I'm not moving the goalposts. I just don't. Y'all equate it as they left the bubble, so they left the bubble. I'm saying, like we talked about, they're not sneaking girls into their rooms. That was the big thing. Stephen A. said it.
Because he got caught.
Now he got caught. See, y'all, he was getting Postmates. What you think? Was she coming in a big box?
What I think is he told people before. He was going to get Postmates. What actually he was doing? I don't know. I think what
Travis.
No,
you
I'm
that
not
guy.
Just like anything, Key. What I am is I'm a guy that's lived on this planet for nearly five decades. People lie when they get caught doing things. Human nature is human nature. You want what you want. You think it's not going to affect anybody else. You go do what you're going to do. And the number one thing you do when you get caught for most people is, oh, man, I had no idea. I'm really sorry. That's the number one lie you tell. I can't do that.
I think he can survive 24 hours without getting into trouble for that.
Well, obviously not.
Well.
Now when they get to send them DMs, huh?
Well, I mean, exactly. And you assuming he started the road trip with a full tank of gas to begin with. What if he was on a quarter tank of gas?
Jeez.
No, this is literally, I don't want to say it's the worst case scenario, because the worst case scenario would be you get caught with somebody in your room on opening weekend, but that it's two different guys on two different teams on the opening weekend.
Don't open your door.
Speaks to the challenge of this for the entire league. Don't open the door. Yeah.
Don't open the door. Get under the bed.
Get under the bed.
Hide behind the curtain. Go in the closet, girl.
It's not Friday the 13th. You ain't running from Jason or something like that.
Yeah, but just, if they try, Travis said he'd get caught with somebody in the room. Well, if you tell them to get under the bed, they're not going, what, they're going to come in and look underneath your bed?
Listen, I don't know.
The point isn't how do you get away with it. The point is guys are going to do it.
Right? By the way, it's National Nude Day. I don't know if this is germane to the conversation or not, but
I think it's probably relatively germane.
Whatever you do, stay indoors, LZ.
Oh, listen, you ain't got to worry about me. Listen, I didn't want to go in the bubble because I know thyself. I was like, nah, I'm good. I could do whatever I need to do from out here.
Do you guys think that we're going to find out that that somebody's going to get caught with somebody in the bubble that they're not supposed to, like just caught?
Are they better
at that than that?
I honestly don't think that that is going to occur, that women are going to be
or men
the bubble. She's too right here. People that are not supposed to be in the bubble are going to be in the bubble. I honestly don't believe that. For one reason.
Yes,
because they
I do
have security.
It.
They're not going to allow them to come in.
Travis?
Yes.
The greatest game, the most important game of anyone's professional football career is the Super Bowl.
It's not the same.
And we have seen examples of people not even being able to keep it together for that.
He was trying to get change.
So, yes. So, yes. I do believe you will find people who are inside the bubble who aren't supposed to be.
He was simply trying to get change for a $100 bill, and she happened to be an undercover police officer in frame.
This, I know we've talked a lot about this, right? That the world is a little different place than it was a couple of months ago, and that's a good thing. But you are also not going to undo, you know, who knows how many hundreds of thousands of years of human nature to all of a sudden get however many guys are in that bubble, you know, several hundred, and get all of them to follow the rules. Because as human beings, we're not great at following the rules. That there's always some guys that blow it.
How many different hotels are they in? Do we know by any chance?
I want to say it's 5 or 6.
So it's 5 or 6 different hotels. So multiple teams are in the same hotel.
Mm-hmm.
That's a question on the individual floor.
Yeah.
With fire.
But that whole idea seems silly too. Like, what? I'm just picking teams at random. Why would you have to separate the Lakers and the Clippers by floor when they're going to go out there and play against each other on the floor? What possible difference could that make?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't put the plan together. So if I had put the plan together, I would have sealed off exit doors and everything.
You would have had to be in jail.
Yeah, because you can get caught in the exit door, because sometimes you go down the exit door, you know you can't come back up.
No, it locks behind you. You got to prop it open with a shoe or something.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, no, you're not the only one. You are not the only one. All right, Kevin Pelton, ESPN NBA Insider, is going to join us next. That's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by Kevin Pelton, who is an NBA writer for ESPN, joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
What's up, sir? Wake up. Let's get going. Let's move. The NBA is going on. Come on, let's go.
My bad, man. I was watching that video, just disturbed on the video or something like that, but don't even trip. What's up, man? So it's been, 2 weeks that they've been in Orlando, and we already got somebody?
No, it's been like a weekend.
A weekend that they've been in Orlando, and we already got somebody violating the quarantine rules, huh? Couple guys decided that they was getting a Postmate and one was going to just kind of slip out the room a little bit. Are you buying that for 1 minute?
I think that it's an understandable reason that someone would break the quarantine. I mean, I think, you know, there's an element of just kind of figuring out what the rules are probably and how strict they're going to be. And I think the NBA is probably not unhappy that they get to publicly announce that these guys have to go back and continue to quarantine for an extra 10 days. Because of the fact that that's a reminder to the other players, hey, that's what you're risking. So it better be worth it, especially once we get into the point where we're starting to play games. And now if you miss those 10 days, then you're also missing the paycheck of the game that you're missing.
So what's the story with Rondo? You know, at first it sounded as if he was going to miss everything but the finals. Now Coach Vogel is saying we can expect him between the first and second round of the playoffs. What are you hearing in terms of the injury and, more importantly, his return?
Well, you know, the 68-week timetable that they put out in the press release, I mean, that lines up with what Coach Vogel said in terms of, you know, it'd be about 7 weeks from right now to the end of the first round of the playoffs. So, you know, that's kind of the midpoint. Rondo's been a fairly quick healer in the past. I think it's realistic for them to, you know, hope, you know, let's say we can take care of business pretty quickly in the first round against the eighth seed, whoever ends up emerging in that spot. Then we've got maybe a little bit of time there to work Rondo back in practice, see how he's looking, give him a chance to regain his rhythm before we figure out what we're going to do for the second round of the playoffs. And I think that's, you know, probably the ideal scenario, because it is a bit of a risk for the Lakers if they throw him in and he's rusty, because, you know, we'll see how much he's able to do in terms of, you know, shooting. You can do conditioning, but, you know, it's going to be a case where it's different, I think, than a thumb injury in the middle of the season where a guy was, you know, in rhythm beforehand. This is a case where it's coming as you were starting to ramp up after this four-month period off. So, you know, it's going to be a very long time since Rondo played in a basketball game for him to come back and jump right back in the middle of the playoffs.
Kevin Pelton joining us here on the morning show. Kevin, we've talked a lot about this, you know, going back to when Avery Bradley decided not to go in, when Dwight was trying to make his decision, and obviously with Rondo right now. There's LeBron, there's AD. Who's the next most important person on this Laker roster for them to win a championship?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I'm tempted to go with Danny Green here. I mean, I think probably Danny Green and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope with Bradley out there, you know, the two wings that are remaining as 3-and-D options are probably the next most important guys. But it's a pretty clear drop-off from the top two. And then, you know, probably a lot of players that you could make cases for in that third spot.
When you look at the third spot, obviously, KCP is in the lineup. He's probably the guy. You're not going to get the same things out of him. Can you get the same thing to a degree from Caruso?
I think he's the closest comp to Bradley, certainly on the roster. And that's one of the things that makes this Rondo injury interesting for the Lakers, is that, you know, to some extent when these games start to become meaningful, which the seeding games probably aren't, they probably will be more of a preseason for them, you know, then you're going to have to choose a little bit between Caruso playing Rondo's role in terms of running the offense when LeBron is on the bench, and Caruso playing Bradley's role in terms of defending point guards when LeBron is running point on offense, pressuring the ball full court, and being able to knock down an open jumper. He's the number one guy you'd look at in both of those roles, and it's unclear if that's too many minutes to ask him to play, you know, given all the conditions.
When you look at the rest of the contenders, you know, you see the Clippers are trying to assimilate Joakim Noah. You see the 76ers are experimenting with, you know, Ben Simmons at the four. You know, do you see any changes that the Lakers may be actually experimenting with that aren't being necessitated by an injury?
Well, Markieff Morris integrating into the lineup is still something, you know, he played at the after he was signed as a free agent, unlike Deion Waiters. So it's a little bit different, and obviously J.R. Smith being added as a substitute for Avery Bradley, but he wasn't fully integrated into the system. And I think that's along the lines of what you're seeing is kind of the tweaking around the edges for some of these other contenders. You can also probably throw in Milwaukee with Marvin Williams and someone else they got in a similar buyout after the trade deadline.
Kevin, you talked about this with Rondo, that because he, you know, injured when he was injured, and by the time he gets back, it'll be a really long time before he's been in an NBA game, and trying to find that rhythm might be a little bit of a challenge. Is that what we're talking about with all these teams, the Lakers in particular, but that whoever can find that quote-unquote regular rhythm most quickly, that they have a huge advantage over the rest of the field?
I think it'll be helpful if you're able to experiment and ramp up more slowly, as a team like the Lakers probably can. You know, Milwaukee in the East isn't really going to have anything to play for in these seeding games. The Clippers have a little bit of a challenge to their number two seed in the West. That's not a sure thing for them, but, you know, they should be able to, you know, again, ramp guys up slowly. I don't think, you know, by the time we get to the conference finals, to the finals, I don't think that's going to be a competitive advantage for any of these teams, but I do think it's fortunate if you're in a situation like that where you don't have to worry about being at your best right away in these seeding games, as opposed to, you know, obviously the teams that are playing for the eighth spot in the Western Conference and the right to face the Lakers, and then also the teams kind of bunched up from third through seventh in the West who have to worry about seeding relative to each other and want to make sure that they don't end up in that seventh seed and potentially play the Clippers in the first round.
How do you anticipate the Lakers playing these eight games, speaking of having to play a different team in the first round?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's experimenting with different things. Certainly you're going to want to see how Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith look with this group. Like I said, Markieff Morris, getting him more minutes. What role is Caruso going to play with Bradley and Rondo out? And then it's, you know, much like we see in the preseason, you know, maybe there will be one night where you play your starters, play LeBron 36 minutes, and make sure that he has that gear ready when the playoffs come. But, you know, another night it might be him, you know, playing 15 minutes in the first half and not in the second half. I wouldn't be surprised if we see all those things again, like kind of like a preseason for them.
So Snoop Dogg has launched his new wine with 19 Crimes. Have you had an opportunity to taste the new wine? And if so, what did you pair with it?
I can't say I've had that opportunity.
But we're going to need you to do some investigative reporting. Get to a near liquor store near you and come back to us and give us a full report on Snoop's wine.
We'll have to do that, yeah.
Kevin Pelton joining us here on the morning show. Kevin, if you had to put an odds on it or a number on it, is there an opportunity for somebody that isn't the Clippers, the Lakers, or the Bucks to win a championship here?
I think there's certainly more opportunity than usual, just from the standpoint of, first, you don't have to worry about the home court disadvantage. And then second, such an extreme wild card of how our team's going to come back. And then also, I guess maybe you can add a third layer is, you know, is the virus going to affect any of these top teams? Are players coming back going to be at the same level, you know, if they have suffered from the virus? There's all sorts of questions out there more than usual. I still think those top three teams are the clear, you know, have separated themselves from the rest of the group, are the clear favorites. But, you know, would I be surprised if Philadelphia got hot in this situation and made a run? Would I be surprised if, you know, Toronto and in Boston could give Milwaukee a fight in the East? And then in the West, I think it's Houston and Dallas are the two teams that really loom as potential wild cards. Although, you know, you've got the same kind of questions there with Russell Westbrook now coming back from testing positive from COVID-19.
I recognize that you haven't had a chance to drink any of Snoop's wine, and that's understandable. Have you tried Genie Buss's tequila?
No, none of the tequila either. I don't think I've had any Snoop beverages.
Kevin doesn't drink.
Uh-oh, did we lose Kevin?
Kevin?
I drink. Oh, there. Yeah, I have not come across those as yet.
Oh, you haven't? Okay. Well, that's, you know, you'll have an opportunity to do it once we win this championship and you're down there celebrating with us. You'll have an opportunity to taste tequila and the wine.
If I'm able to just go anywhere, then it will be worth celebrating at that point with whatever alcohol is available. Mm-hmm.
I think we lost Travis.
Oh, okay. Oh. Well, sorry about that.
I was waiting for Travis to answer the question.
No, I think we lost it.
Kevin, we're a very professional organization here. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, we are a very professional organization. Sometimes the wires get crossed the way that we hook them up, but other than that, you're back?
I'm back, Key. I'm back. Okay. I'm back, and we're ready to go. Did we say goodbye to Kevin or not while I was gone? Is Kevin still here?
No, we're waiting for you to say bye because it is break time. But as you can see, Kevin, we've tried all the wines and the tequilas. So, but other than that, we're fine.
Hey, we're all figuring it out right now on the fly.
And if anybody call you to help them get anything inside the bubble, don't answer.
That's right. That's right, guys. That was Kevin Pelton. Of course, he covers the Lakers for our very own ESPN and telling us about Rondo without the Lakers. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Yo, fellas, I have a great idea. Since Rob screwed up the last man standing, why don't we do another last man standing? Except this time you use an actual factual list, Raj, and not the one you made up in your head.
What's the fun in all that? That's crazy.
I got one for you.
No one wants to do that. We like the ones from Raj.com. That just kind of made up.
No,
here we go.
No,
name me.
It's
name
kind of
me.
Hard when the list is only existing in one person's mind.
No, here we go. Name me.
Travis, you want me to take away that victory or what? You want that victory?
Here we go, Travis. Here we go. Name me.
Go ahead, Keith.
The Dodgers infield of the 80s.
The 80s?
Yeah.
That's easy.
Okay. I mean, are you looking for the
starting from Russell. Home plate? Starting from home plate around to third.
The record-breaking infield.
We can go Steve Yeager behind home plate.
Okay, that's one. Now, that's somebody. Now you go, Travis. I mean, you go, LZ.
Garvey.
All right, I'll give you Steve Garvey at two.
Key, you go here.
What do you mean you
Billy
give it
Russell.
To me? Like he wasn't on the team.
All right. Davey Lopes.
LZ.
Why y'all going so fast? I got to think.
I knew somebody would miss.
Wait, hold on. Let me think. Wait.
Let me think. Are you Googling, homie?
Are we counting pitchers?
We ain't
you
got
get
to
one.
The, we get one pitcher.
I get one pitcher for the 80s?
Yeah.
Now, hold up. So, did we already say Lopes?
Yes.
And I said Garvey.
Yes.
And
Key said Bill Russell.
Did you
Key
say
said
Yeager?
Bill Russell.
Man, you playing. Man, you Google. I know what you're doing.
No, I'm not Googling. I only know five people from the 80s, so I'm making sure I got one left.
It's one left.
Did I say it?
No.
Oh, well, then I don't know.
So you're out. All right, you're out.
Key.
Ron Say.
Are you all right? There you go. I'll take Kenny Landreau in the outfield.
Ooh.
I'll take Dusty Baker in the outfield.
Ooh.
Wait.
All right.
I didn't know we could do all that.
How about Reggie Smith?
Because I thought he said infield.
I'll take
he
Reggie
did.
Smith.
Hey, man,
you can have Reggie
I
Smith.
Said
so
Reggie
we,
Smith.
I, you can
what
take
the hell
Reggie
just
Smith.
Happened to Last Man Standing? Why
See,
would
mine
that
is
be?
Here's another, here's another one for you.
I'll
take. I'll take
infield.
Jay Johnstone.
Hold up. You said infield. I ran out of infielders, and now you've just arbitrarily expanded to outfielders.
Well, because we wanted to extend the Dodgers, and you was out, so me and Travis, and on top of
Baker,
that, you didn't get the question right.
I could have said Dusty Baker.
No, me and Travis won. Play our music.
Don't see
how
music.
That is, Raj, how we did that? That was smooth.
No, I think
the
now
Dodgers
now appreciate mine.
I could have said Dusty Baker if we were playing anybody. You said infield.
You should have gotten Daryl Thomas, LZ. He played everywhere. Infield, outfield,
player.
You could have
went Daryl Thomas.
Yeah, Daryl Thomas was good. The Dodgers, so the All-Star game is supposed to be today. And unfortunately, because I would argue that that's one of the few All-Star games that's reasonably competitive because no one wants to strike out on purpose and no one wants to give up a home run on purpose. The rest of it, the NBA got a little better last year with that new format. But how many of these guys, because the Dodgers have a roster full of All-Stars, Bellinger, Kershaw, Betts, Justin Turner, Corey Seager, Kenley Jansen, Walker Buehler, Jock Peterson has made an All-Star game. Ross Stripling has made an All-Star game. They've got a whole bunch of guys on this team that have been All-Stars before. How many of these guys on this roster need to play at an All-Star level for them to get where we want them to go and win a World Series? Do all of those guys have to be at that line or above, or do they only need a handful of them?
I think they all do. I think they all need to play at a level above because we had a handful of guys play that way the last couple of years, and where did that get us? It didn't get us anywhere to the dance. That's it. So you certainly need all of those guys to play above, like they're capable of playing. You want the best. You want them to play the best. You want Mookie Betts and Bellinger and all those guys to just play the best. You don't want to settle for Justin Turner playing like his all-star self and then having – Corey Seager play like he forgot how to play baseball. You know, you want everybody to elevate their game because this is a shortened season and you can't afford to stub your toe at all.
Well, that is true. The fact that the season has been shortened is pretty big. And I was just doing a quick little check on the number of people recently who have won the World Series MVP but weren't on an All-Star team. And I didn't have to go back very far.
No.
You know, it's all about when is your bat hot and when do those hits come? You know, so you're right, Travis. If this was a regular season situation we would need a lot more guys playing at an all-star level to secure the number one seed, to make sure that we had home field advantage and all those things. But in a 60-game season and everything squishing together, playing at an all-star level, we just need you to play. We just need you to get the right hits at the right time to win
And the two guys that they're going to need the most, and look, Cody Bellinger needs to be one of the best players in the league. Mookie Betts needs to be one of the best players in the league. But I believe that they will be just because they're at that spot in their career where they perform at that level. The two guys that are multiple-time All-Stars, one of them is a deadlock cinch first ballot famer. And the other one, quite frankly, is probably a borderline Hall of Famer. But these guys need to perform like the best versions of themselves if they're going to win the World Series. And it's Kershaw and Kenley Jansen. If we can get Clayton Kershaw to pitch like Clayton Kershaw in October, they're in great shape. If you can get Kenley Jansen to look like Kenley Jansen has looked when he's been at his best, they're in great shape. Because like you were talking about, Bellinger, Betts, Muncy, you take all those guys together, enough of those guys are going to get enough hits at the right time to keep that team moving. And there's going to be nights where it doesn't happen. We've seen it before. But when the Dodgers have really broken down in these runs, and it hasn't been big breakdowns for long periods of time, it's been bullpen breakdowns, it's been starting pitching breakdowns, not necessarily offensive breakdowns. And those are the two, because Walker Buehler is going to give you what he's going to give you. Those other two guys that are probably two of the great Dodgers of all time, they need to be great Dodgers of all time at the end of the line. That's the two guys that matter the most.
It is. And because we've seen Kershaw struggle to a degree in the postseason, that's his only thing that on his resume, when you look at his resume, his bio, it's going to say struggle. It's not going to say dominant. And we want him to dominate in the play he did in the postseason. I mean, like he does in the regular season. It's such a shortened season. It'd be good for him to start off fast. Now, clearly, he's been in spring training and pitching well in the sixth inning. So it clearly tells you that they want him to start off fast. So that opening day spot for him, we won't be pulling him in the fourth inning. Or better yet, they won't be pulling him because I'm not the manager.
No, you're not. Yeah, you know, the things like all-star performances and all-star games and things like that, honestly, guys, like that whole conversation, MVP, Cy Young, none of that is going to matter this year anyway. You know, it's ultimately just about who is able to cobble together enough healthy bodies to get across this very, very jagged finish line. And I hear what you're saying, Travis. We're going to need, you know, Kenley to pinch well. We're going to need to see Kershaw.
Oh, I like that. It's like
Kershaw. Yeah. Just kind of make it easier. But I just go back to, we're just going to need timely hits by anybody at the right time. Because that, more than our pitching, has really been the issue. Not being able to get guys across home plate in critical moments of the game. That's been what's been hurting us more than our pitching performances.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, everybody has breakdowns offensively in the postseason because the teams that are still playing at that point more often than not have dominant pitching. We saw what the Nationals did last year. We've seen what the Astros have done with their frontline guys. And the Dodgers, for the most part, when you're walking out Walker Buehler, when you're running out Ryu and Kershaw, you know, a little bit hit and miss, it's that back end where we're talking about those hits. It's getting, you know, the Dodgers got eliminated early because their bullpen melted down. The Dodgers didn't lose that game because they couldn't get a big hit. They lost because they couldn't get those last, what would it be, six outs of the game. That was where that game went. And I know that that's a small example, but those outs at the end of those games, in the middle of those games, and not having to go into your middle relief and getting your starting pitcher into the sixth and seventh inning, especially now where guys are going to be much fresher at the end of the line, I think it's a huge opportunity for them. And those two guys, if they get it done, it'll be because they play great. All right, Crosstalk coming up next. That's on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Hey,
all right, Crosstalk right now. Scary. Brian Kamenetsky here again. BK, good morning. How are things?
That was meant to scare you, though.
Good. No,
you already scared him during the break, Key.
That's what I said. That was meant to scare him. I was trying to be overly aggressive.
It was
like
definitely
to say wild. Angry and wild, you know.
I think of all those adjectives, wild is my favorite.
Wild, angry,
completely out of control.
The riot. We're protesting, but it's a riot.
That Key is just so wild. He's uncontrollable.
God, can we? What's the one with Cam? Is he going to be contained? Was that what they said?
Can he Can he contain himself?
Yeah, can he
was
contain
the vernacular.
Himself?
I can contain himself.
I have never seen more like faster saying the quiet part out loud than some of the reaction in sports radio in Boston when they signed.
Yeah,
Cam.
No, absolutely.
It was like,
they didn't even use the language all that much. They just said what we all knew they were thinking. They said it right away on opening day.
Oh, it's unbelievable. They getting caught already in quarantine down there, BK. They already sneaking out.
Well, I mean, look, sometimes you just want a little takeout.
Really? In Orlando? Come on, man. Come on. He ain't in Paris. He ain't in Italy, Rome, trying to get like the best of the best. He's trying to get Olive Garden. He's trying to get.
Yeah, this isn't New Orleans. Where right. there's stuff going on everywhere.
Whatever he was bringing in from Postmates in the surrounding Orlando area, he could have easily gotten on that ground. That's for sure.
All right, Brian. Let me ask you this: do you think that there's any chance at all that these were harmless violations of the quarantine, that they didn't understand the rules, or were these guys kind of probing the defense perimeter to see where the soft spots are so when they get a couple of more weeks in, they know what they're doing?
Oh, God, Travis, you...
I think, like, mostly because I still think of Bruno Caboclo as the guy who, when he was drafted, was described as, like, 4 years away from being 4 years away. The idea that he could sort of be just... wandering around campus, not exactly knowing what's going on, seems totally viable to me. I mean, Rashawn Holmes, they've been there for 3 days. I think the idea that they're 4 days, whatever it is, the idea that they're already trying to sneak out, like to find, you know, I don't know, like to get across the lake to girls' camp, I'm not sure.
But see, is it sneaking out or is it passing a perimeter that they shouldn't have, an area they shouldn't have been in?
I'm willing to chalk it up as a mistake in the case of Rashawn Holmes, just because we're so early in this process. I mean, how far did he get out? Like, where'd he go?
That's what I keep asking Travis and him. Like, where did they go? Like, he couldn't have crossed the barrier and got into an Uber. Like, he wasn't – like, what did he do? He doesn't have a car there, right? You assume he probably doesn't have a car. And it's probably – if the perimeter is probably sealed by security. So if he got in the lobby and went outside the doors, is that okay? Is it okay to go to the pool? Is it okay to be on those grounds, or did he actually get on Buena Vista Boulevard?
Right. If they'd found Rashawn Holmes in St. Petersburg, I think we'd have a problem.
But guys, think about this as far as he went. We've all seen the movies, right? You don't just show up and rob the bank. You get the blueprints. You figure out what time the guard takes his coffee break. You figure out which teller is the soft spot in this thing. You have to do some of your reconnaissance before you go and take that attempt to rob the bank. You just don't show up the first day with your mask and let it rip. You got to see what's going
on. Travis, you do know that Ocean's 11 is not a documentary, right?
Right. The NBA did not take all the good food and bury it under the Bellagio.
Well, look, at the end of the day, we work for Disney. We like Disney and everything. There's no question. They're great to us. But when you stand in the Disneyland hotel, it's only so many Mickey Mouse nuggets that you're going to be able to tolerate. And so many little packets of Italian light dressing with a few slices of tomato and some light brown lettuce that you're going to be able to tolerate.
They do have good ice.
And spaghetti.
But they're at the point now where, like, whoever Sacramento brought in as their chef, like, that's who's making the food for them now. I think he just wanted some Ruby Tuesdays.
That's exactly what we're going to get down there. Ruby Tuesdays, exactly. Olive Garden. Ruby Tuesdays, yep. Olive Garden, Denny's.
I've been all over the Disneyland property. I've not been to Disney World since I was a little kid, so I can't speak to that, but I'm assuming they're fairly similar. There are places to get decent food. I'm not saying it's gourmet stuff, but you can make a decent choice here or there. It's not like you have to, and I get it. Maybe after a month of this stuff, it's like, man, I cannot eat another one of these salads from that spot. I just can't do it.
Well, no,
day
you're
three?
Right.
Day three?
No, you are right, Travis. There are certain places, but where are those places? Are they on property? or are they off property? Because if they're on property, that's different. Most of the places, like I know you can go to Universal City Walk and there's an Emeralds, and there's, but that's off campus. That's a different part of Orlando. You know, there's different, there's Martin mm-hmm. Steakhouses, there's the Palm. I mean, there's Ruth Chris.
Right, but Key, they're not going to take all the good stuff from Emeralds and put it like 30 feet beyond the perimeter and just sit there with a camera going, like, hey, watch this.
with a box with a stick holding it up and a string.
Like a cartoon.
When they reach in, you drop the box on top of it.
But that's why on Disney property, the food that, think about it, man, the kitchen is equipped for the individual families that frequent Disney World. That's what the kitchen is equipped for. They don't bring the food that the players want to eat. It's just the players.
That's why they brought in the other chefs. You're exactly right. But that's why they brought in the other chefs.
Have they started?
I think so. Yeah. Yet? I think they're there. Yeah. Each team, I think, now has those people in because they're out of their hotel rooms.
I look forward to tomorrow's list of players who, quote, made a mistake and accidentally violated quarantine. I'm sure we'll have a few each and every day.
If they were found at the main
Lakers,
stage.
We're okay.
BK filling in for Sedano. The Sedano Show coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow morning on The Morning Show, 710 ESPN.